Good morning. It's good to see you. I scared somebody up there because they put a big old clock up on the wall so I wouldn't misinterpret what time it really is.
They were just following orders.
Yeah, following your instructions. There you go. Okay. All right. I'm going to get comfortable here, but I want you to lower your expectations right away. John told me I had to be done by 9:45. That's not going to happen. Okay. I am going to hurry, but I'm not going to rush. Okay. I'll be mindful of your time, but I want to give away what God has given to me for you. And as they say, if I never pass this way again, you'll say, okay, he left something behind that people would remember God for and thank God for. Amen? My wife once is here with us. We came to visit a friend of ours that is going through some treatments, cancer treatments. She actually did that for the first time, I think, around 2004. And she actually was a member here in the church, and my wife was with her 24/7. My wife vowed that she would never come to Kansas City when there was snow on the ground. But how many of you know love makes you do a lot of crazy things? Okay. So she came, even though, and it was her idea, she says, if we leave earlier, we'll get there before the snow, even though the snow will be there while we're there. I said, okay, I'll see what I can do, arrange my schedule to make that happen. How many of you know if your wife tell you to do something? I've been married 43 years. It's just easier to do what she asks you to do and get it done. So here we are, and it's just so good to be in this place this morning. Many of you don't know me, and that's good. That means that the place has grown, and there's a lot of people don't know a little bit about the things that I was able to be part of when I was part here at the church as a member and also on staff as an executive pastor. But I want to thank you this morning because some of the things that you're going to see and hear about that God is doing in our lives at this time that's affecting the culture is because of you. It's because of your prayers. It's because of your support that allow God to do a great work in and through us. God has called us to be rivers, not reservoirs. We are to allow the power and presence of Jesus Christ to flow in and through us everywhere we go. So we should always be flowing with the presence of God in our lives. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we should be that people. People may not be able to understand or comprehend exactly what it is that's different about you, but they'll know that there's something different, and they like what they see, and they want to get to know more, and that's the season we're in. I came on staff in 2001, and my jobs, as the Lord told me, was to help Pastor John be successful in his calling, and the church was in a very, very I would call it a growth mode and a reshifting time. And so it was a pleasure to be able to do that. I came from the corporate world, walked away from that for so many years that I had been doing it. And most people thought I'd lost my mind. And some of those even almost convinced me that I'd lost my mind. And so, but I knew in my innermost being that God was doing something. And that was a season of my life that I must step into what he was calling me to. There's times in our lives where maybe we have careers, maybe we have things that we're doing, and the big thing in our minds is God in this. Well, let me just tell you, God is in everything if you allow him to be, if you call him to be, if you allow his spirit to flow through you where you are. And so that career turned into a calling, and so that calling has kept me up at night. That calling has not allowed me to be stagnant in my thinking, not stagnant in my mentality, but to continue to grow with God. And I'll tell you this, And this is the title of the message, What Would It Look Like to Dream with God? What would it look like if we would partner with God in this time and season? What would it look like? Some of you may not know some of the history of the church, and I would just really, really encourage you to go back and look at some of the videos. I think there was one put together. Gary Morton, I know you were in that video. There were many others that had been in the church for a long period of time, and we're talking about the days and the establishment of the work here. Why is that important? If you don't know your history, if you don't know where you came from, you have no idea where you're going. If you don't know the shoulders of the people that you're standing on that contribute to the opportunity that you sit here today and enjoy, then you're going to look at it and undervalue what God has done and what God is doing. That's the problem with our culture. They recognize the past, but they're viewing it from the present. The thing about it, you can't change history. History is history. And every human being that came has got flaws. Every one of us. As one writer said, all of God's children's got issues. Every one of them. Now, if you don't think you got issues, that's your issue. You got a distorted view of who you are. By the way, I told Elder a minute ago, why is Gert sitting on the other side of the room? You didn't think I would see you, did you? You couldn't hide if you wanted to, bro. So anyway, as you can tell, I like to have fun from here. And this is such a remove from where it was when I first started. I would dress up in a suit and tie because I came from a persuasion that that's what you did. And John, bless his heart, if he was going to allow me to preach, he was going to dress in a suit and tie too. And it was just, he goes, this poor guy don't get it, but I'm going to stay with him until he does. And so we're gonna do it. And to dress this way and stand in front of you in a pulpit would have been sacrilegious where I came from. I got you laughing, that's good. But maybe your heart and ears will open what I'm about to say, because I'm about to get real serious with you, okay? What I want to do today is I want to just point to the issues of our culture. And my hope is that you get energized and your eyes and lift goes upward, heavenly, and not outward, earthly. We have got this mindset that and this is true in Alabama big time, that our end goal is to get everybody to heaven. And Lord knows we want to evangelize and get people to heaven. But if God wanted you to simply go to heaven, he would have killed you the moment you came to him and took you to heaven. He wants heaven to earth. He wants to establish his kingdom here and now on this earth. And you are here. You ain't there. When you finish your work, I was just such in despair a few weeks ago, and I said, God, either you do this in my life or you take me home. And then a realization came to play. You know what? There's no lost people in heaven. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's nobody there that's lost that needs saving. And I get a chance to bring Jesus glory here. All I can do is recognize his glory there. Do you understand what I'm saying? I get a chance to be a representative of kingdom here on earth, here and now, that represents a kingdom that's not from this earth. And that's what we've been called to. I want to talk a little bit about this, and I haven't even used scripture, so that lets you know we hadn't got started yet. All right. Here we go. I want to share a dream I had the dream was some time ago, and I was going back and reading my journal, and as I do sometimes, to just get really encouraged of what God has done, because I realize that we are standing on the shoulders of others that's gone before us. And in this dream, how many of you have seen the movie Back to the Future, which is an oxymoron? I don't know how you go back to the future, it's a movie I love and the series I love. It's been out a long time. And so it's in that context that this dream took place. And I had a chance to go back to my ancestors. And they were in menial jobs. I mean, as you guys know, I'm black. Praise God, I'm black. And so most of my ancestry came from, I've actually done the DNA, so I know where they came from. And most of my ancestry landed in Atlanta and Mississippi and other parts of Georgia. And so they were in crop growing, and mainly cotton in the South and some of those kind of crops. And I walked up to them from the future, and I began to tell them, thank you for what you did. Thank you for staying to the task, though you saw it was minimal type of thing. It just seemed like it was insignificant. I said, because of what you did, here's the doors that's been opened for our race. And I remember one gentleman that he was just had his head down. He had a hoe in his hand, and he's just working. And I began to tell him about some of his lineage, those that would come after him, those that would be, because of what he did, would be open doors for other opportunities. And I said, there will be mayors of cities. There will be governors of states. I said, there will even be a president that would be African American in the United States. And I'll never forget him looking at me in amazement. And he says, that'll never happen. I said, it already has. I'm not from the past. I'm from the future. I only came to tell you thank you and encourage you that what you do or what you have done matters. That is the message I want to give to you today. It's what you're doing matters to the kingdom. It doesn't have to be standing on a stage here. As most of the time, people that really need God, really need to know that God cares, that he's kind, he loves them, are not going to darken the door on the church on a Sunday morning. That's not what Jesus did. He went where they were. As a matter of fact, that was the big thing the religious leaders didn't like about him, is those that he's associated with. So if you're going to see the kingdom grow, you're going to have to get your hands dirty. You're going to have to be willing to step in and be used some things. I'm going to talk about three things real quick, and then I'm going to show you a couple of quick videos that kind of really illustrates this. Everybody talks and looks at people through a couple of different lenses, and one of them is IQ. They look at how intelligent and how smart they are. And we begin to classify people based on their knowledge, wisdom, education many times, or just intellect. That's what IQ is. And we've even, over the last 10, 15 years, have brought in a new one, and we call it EQ, emotional intelligence, where people are able to understand others by looking at how they're wired. We got all kind of tools that businesses use to be able to know how to communicate with a person, know what they're, what makes them tick a little bit, so that you know how to partner with them. You've seen some of those, I'm sure. Businesses use tools every day to be able to do that. But a Christian has another tool, and it's a tool that we never, ever use, or we don't think it nearly as wise or understand it, and it's called SQ, spiritual intelligence. What does it look like to look on problems that this culture and this world has from God's point of view. How can I begin to engage with all heaven upon the culture problems and situations and begin to view it through God's mind and opportunity. There's a couple words we're going to lose when we do that. Number one is impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Nor is there any place that he would ever deem God forsaken. So when I begin to view my life and partner, dream with heaven, now I can bring heaven to earth through the mind and eyes of the most creative being there is. Partnering and dreaming with God. To look upon the circumstances that has plagued our culture for generations. How can we do that together? That excites me. And I love when I take solutions to people that God has given that I know is just, it's going to spin their head. And these are Christians. But we all, so many of us, have a secular and sacred boundaries that we can do. We can be like the devil Monday through Saturday even, and all of a sudden become a saint on Sunday morning. That same person, I'm going to use some words that you might not like, may not be Christian, that screws you in a business deal is going to pat you on the back and say, God bless you on Sunday morning. And think nothing bad about it. And this is in the South. Oh, my God, does it happen every day. I saw a picture hanging in one of the museums. And this was in I won't say the denomination name because this is being broadcast. It was in a church, popular in the South. You do your own imagination what it was, okay? But here is a Ku Klux Klan group standing in the choir stand on a Sunday morning, and behind them was a big banner that says, Jesus saves. And I thought, what an oxymoron. I thought, oh my God. But we laugh, and it would be funny if it wouldn't be true. That may be an extreme example, but it happens in our lifetime every day. Let me just tell you, in a Jewish mindset, Jewish culture, there was no such thing as sacred and sacred. It was all one continuum. Whatever you were, whatever you were named, whatever you were called, spoke your identity of your life. There was none of that. So I want to call your attention to what time it is so we don't miss and begin to tucker in or tucker down to what we see happening in the culture. Because we'll miss what God is doing. And it's real plainly harvest time. Harvest time. Harvest time. There's a couple of scriptures because here I am. I've been here about 15 minutes and I hadn't read a scripture yet. Let's read a scripture so that you guys don't think I'm unbiblical, unscriptural. Genesis 8:22. Now this took place out after the flood. You know about, some of you need to read your Bibles. You understand about flood, right? Destroyed everything. And then there was a bow put in the sky. And it was a promise by God that he would never destroy all living creatures again. And here's what he said. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, summer cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We're talking about as long as the earth is functional, there will never be those times. There will always be these times. He also said, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples in Matthew 9:37 and 38. He says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. Those fields are all around us, folks, right now. And how do we partner with heaven? The harvest, one of the greatest times we've ever seen. The enemy wants you to hunker down. He wants you to look at the darkness. instead of bringing forth the light. In your area of influence in the world. I want to part of the thank you from this people, you, is going to really, I've got some tools we have developed, and we need more. We need more tools. I want to make it so simple that somebody has to help you misunderstand what it is we're doing. And I'm not there yet, but we're getting there. As God unfolds all these things, he's given me, the Bible calls it witty inventions. But it's just been a matter of just, how many of you know that prayer is not, it's a dialogue, not a monologue, right? That means you shut up and you listen, and then you ask and you inquire, or you make your request known before God. Okay? But, you know, the number one thing when I was on staff here, believe it or not, that people would ask me is, how do you get to know God? That was the number one thing. You know what I told them? How do you get to know anybody if you don't spend time with them? And that's not going to just automatically happen. Let me just say it this way. You don't want that to automatically happen. Because there are times I've seen in my life where God had to, you know, make me unable to do my regular routine, and I had to seek his heart, okay? I didn't have nothing else to do. And I think we went through that time back in 2019 and 2020 where God was doing a divine reset in his body. We had gotten so busy with even doing the work of God that we lost our place and relationship with God. And so I'm going to just show you a few tools, and I've got a couple of videos I want you to see, and then I'm going to come back and wrap this up. One is, if you guys can show the one from Bill Johnson, because Bill is speaking, I believe, to the very heart of where we are and challenging us to think differently in this season of time.
Hallelujah, King forever. We thank you for the cross.
Oftentimes, when there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's a great move of God, there's a lot of alarms that go off, and some of them are worthy. That whenever there's extraordinary things happen, we always want to make sure that we don't go overboard in the sense of excess or into error or some of those things. But I have an approach. I have an approach that has kept me safe so far, and I thought it'd be a really great idea to share it with you today. I don't pay attention to the warnings of possible excess from anyone who is satisfied with lack. There's a lot of people that want to make me like them, and they're not doing anything. They're not changing anything. They're not impacting the world around them. They're a nice, safe Christian, and I might or you might scare them. And that's what I want to do. I want to scare people out of complacency. I want people to become jealous over what God might do through, in and through them. And I feel like as a people of God, we have a responsibility. I've noticed that if I act cautiously and very reserved, everybody around me will applaud me and call me wise. I just won't move many mountains. I just won't change the world around me. And I was not called to play it safe. I was called to take risk in the name of the Lord. I suppose a word of caution should be stated. For me, that means I take risks, but I do it in a company of like-minded people. It doesn't mean an excuse to be independent or in any way rebellious or disrespectful. What it does mean is I find people with like heart and mind that are willing to live this lifestyle of risk. And we say, listen, let's watch each other's backside. Let's keep each other safe. If there are attitudes that develop that are arrogant or independent or whatever, let's make sure that we bring correction. And we do. We've done that. But we've chosen to live a lifestyle that's not just convenient. It's not just comfortable. I've chosen to live a lifestyle that doesn't make it easy for people to become relaxed. I want people to be challenged into greater faith and into greater effectiveness. There's no uniqueness about my life or the people around me. The only uniqueness is Him. He is the extraordinary one. He is the extravagant one. And And he doesn't, as somebody said once, he said, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's what he's doing right now. He's taking people like you and me that will make the ultimate yes and say, God, I'm willing to live a lifestyle of risk. I'm willing to be in a place where I'm inconvenienced, where I'm uncomfortable, where I actually have to depend on you constantly. I'm willing to step into that kind of lifestyle because first I want you glorified through the offering of my life. But secondly, I want the people around me to truly be free. I want them to taste of what it looks like. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I want them to taste that lifestyle that is completely immersed in the wonderful, wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you, take the big plunge and say, God, I'm willing to live a lifestyle of greater risk.
Amen. You know, I shared with the team that's around me and doing what we're doing, and you'll see a little short video and a little bit about that in a minute, but I said, I have no desire to make it safely to the grave. That's not what I want to be about. I hear so many people that I'm around, many business leaders, very wealthy men and women, and they look at what we're doing, and the first thing out of their mouth is, how are you doing that? How is that going to work? I said, look, you need to get a hold of the why first. Because if you don't have a strong why, your how really don't matter. You will not press through the crap that you're going to have to press through. You will not sacrifice the things that you will have to sacrifice. You will not go through the mind-twisting, the night walking the floors, the concerns of how I'm going to pay my bills and how am I going to live and what's going to happen to me if your why isn't strong enough. Everybody wants to see great change in this world. They want to see great change in particular places, but they want to do it easy without cost. Well, let me tell you something. The price is high, but it's worth it. When you think of what God can do to you, through you, to change a generation, it's worth it. But let me tell you, let me warn you, it never goes on sale. You have to pay the full price. It's never discounted. You have to pay the full price. Jesus didn't say, I will get this much, but that's too much. To die and have scars that I'll have for all eternity. And all I can say, when I asked about the scars, I had these in the house of my friends. Do you realize that he took on a body that will forever have the scars in his hands, in his feet, in his side for you and I? There's a price to pay. So many of the friends I talked to, and I began to share with them some of the things. And then one of the first things on my mouth, I don't know that I feel comfortable with that. I said, well, that's real simple to answer that. You can either be comfortable or you can be obedient, but you can't be both. There's no such thing as comfortably obedient in kingdom. It's a price to pay. If you're going to take territory that the enemy has had for generations, it's going to cost. It is going to cost. I think some of the issues we're facing is because we didn't look to the generation ahead. We just stood in the generation we were in. We were so selfish in our mindset that we didn't want better for our kids. That was my mom's and dad's cry, is I want a better life for them than I've had. Thus, I do thus and so today. Knowing that they would not walk in or realize the thing they're praying for me to. But they came, if I can say it, midwives to that next generation. I don't know about you. I don't want to leave this place a mess for my grandchildren. I don't want that. I want to do everything in my generation to affect that generation to come. And if we don't take that mindset, we're going to miss it all together. So in this area, that we're working in. I'm going to show you a little short video about it. But we started looking at what would it look like to bring other food programs that did not take away the ability to build relationships with people. Because we find out that poverty is not just what I don't have. It's that I don't have a relationship. There's not enough people that care about me. There's more people that are turkey people. You know what a turkey people is, right? Thanksgiving and Christmas. They go on the other side of the town. They give people turkeys. And one guy said, we take to turkeys. We're not fools. We take to turkeys. But it really isn't about us. It's about them. They feel good about what they did for those people. We don't want to be turkey people. Don't be a turkey people. Person. Be a kingdom person. Love those that you give. It's amazing to me when I start talking about this to people. It's amazing. We'll go in a third world country. We'll find out what the humanitarian need is. We'll bring it along with them, clean water, food, medicine, whatever it is. And now people, we are in relationship with those people. Their heart's open, and they welcome the gospel in. Not because you just came in there pounding a Bible and shouting Jesus-ies in front of them, but because you cared about their need, their hearts open up, and now you got a relationship built. But we don't do that in America. And we got some of the, we got some third worlds here. If you don't know it, come with me. I'll show you. And third world mindsets. Well, it's not about living, it's just about surviving. Jesus didn't come for that. He said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Everybody has a God-given gift and talent. That's what Ephesians 2 says. Before they were ever created, he created good works for them to walk in, and then he created them. To me, my life mission is very simple. I want to see every person's life I touch become all that Jesus' blood paid for on that cross. Real simple. That's my mission statement. He said, well, that's a high and lofty thing. I serve a big God. And he's unafraid to step into these places. And he gives us solutions to bring in that would just boggle the natural mind. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. And so I want you to look at what we're doing and listen to this short video, because it'll say everything, and then I'll wrap this up for you.
Have you ever wondered why we still have people in America living in poverty and struggling to break the cycle after 50 years? Do you wonder why it is that existing solutions and resources are simply not making a difference in the long term? Hi, my name is James Harris. I'm the president of Harvest Community Charities. We have studied this problem over the past 12 years, and we have discovered that the root of poverty is not merely the lack of food or resources, but the complete lack of a support system and long-term relationships within those communities. The lack of relational support results in whole generations and communities of people who do not understand or see how they can use their own gifts and abilities to change their situation and break that generational cycle. This is a great injustice, and we believe that this is what lies at the heart of poverty, and the issue we believe local churches has been called to address in every community across America. Our organization comes alongside churches and faith-based organizations to help them utilize available resources to transform that local community while cultivating long-term relationships and discipleship. By fulfilling the Great Commission this way, we can break that generational cycle of poverty by loving and serving the whole person rather than just meeting a short-term immediate need. It is time for each one of us to take a long, hard look at what the Lord has placed in our hands and step into the purposes each of us was created to fulfill, to transform our communities and bring His kingdom here. We aren't asking merely for money. We aren't asking for canned goods or personal care needs. Those are plenty other organizations out there that are doing that kind of work. We are, however, asking you to seek the Lord's heart for your community and to consider what He has placed in your hands. Please visit our website and register for more information about our solution and how you can get involved. God bless you.
So one of the things we have done is really created three different organizations. Two of them are for-profit companies. So if you think of an eagle, they're the wings, and the charity is the fuselage. The charity works with the churches, community leaders, civil organizations, those kind of things, to help bring about some of the tools that we will use to help address that problem, because there is no one silver bullet that's going to solve all the problems. But we really do want to partner with churches, because they are the ones that have been called to those communities to bring about transformation and reformation to those. First of all, transformation to the person, and then reformation to the community. How many of you know, if we're looking for just laws, righteous people write just laws? So if we want to see laws change, let's get hearts changed. And the opportunity that we've faced is that. One of our long-time board members was a 20, almost 30-year executive director of the Central Missouri Food Bank. And when she retired, she went out to visit many of the sites that she supplied for all those many years. And she said, "I was so disappointed in what I saw. I haven't done anything to solve the problem. All I did was put a Band-Aid on it." She said, "Now I'm seeing second and third generations doing the same things that the parents did. And they become unchanged." I'm not saying that we're going to be able to change everything, but we can certainly change what God has empowered us to do through the power of His Holy Spirit. And He will begin to give us, and He has for us, given us witty inventions to be able to address things in ways that are very simplistic, but they are transformational. And so this little guy that came on staff in 2001 that was afraid to pick up a mic and would spend 20 minutes talking about my unworthiness to be here have stepped into the boldness of what God has created because of you and this environment that God gave me. I was a broken person on the inside. I had religion. I just didn't have God as I know Him today, as Father, Creator, Lover, my all in all. And to know that you can depend on Him. He can bear your weight. He can help you see yourself for what you are, not for what you're not. That He is not disappointed because He knows what He got when He got you. That we were not like you. I wasn't qualified, but I knew I was called. And when you call, you answer the call. That's what you do. During Desert Storm, General Schwarzkopf said this about his leadership, because everybody asked him about his leadership. He said, "There's one thing I know. When you're called to be a leader, you lead. That's what you do. You may not be the best at it, but if you don't lead, others will not be able to come behind you and do it better." I'm telling you, God is calling pioneers to the field right now. And you must develop a pioneer mindset. That's what we've done. And there's some things about pioneering you need to understand, or you'll never embrace the difficulties that you're going to have. Your weaponry and the greatest tool you're going to ever need is going to be the machete. You're cutting a one-person wide path to go into the unknown. But you also know that others will come behind you and do it better than you did it, and they'll do it faster than you did it, and they'll pave the way, and all you did was make a way. You showed the path. But here's the thing about a pioneer. They could not come if you hadn't gone. You must understand that your place in history in the here and now is to pave a way for those that will come behind you. Why? Because God is calling you into the unknown. He is asking you to take territory that has been vacated by the church and by the body of Christ that he wants. And you will never do it sitting in these pews. Or online, those of you too. You will never do it until you get up in faith and walk into the unknown. Why? Because that's where God is. That's what God is. I'm just going to say this to you, what God told me beginning of last year. He said, James, I'm doing a new thing. And when God tells you he's doing a new thing, that ought to let you know something. He said, now, I'm not doing another thing. You ain't seen this thing. Because when God moves, we always try to frame it up based on what he's done in the past. And he said, I ain't doing that anymore. This is a new thing. Which means that if I'm going to walk in a new thing, I've got to follow his lead. I can't run way out in front because I think I know where he's going. I have no idea where he's going. And let me tell you, he's going to take you places that you think, you mean God, you want me to go in there? Yeah, I'll go in there. And we're going to wreck the place. The devil's had it too long. Let's go in there and start up something. Let's start a revolution inside that place. Let's see if people, if this power, let's show this power that Jesus, my son, had that raised him from the dead is inside of you. Let's go out and let's go out and see what's going to happen when we step in this place. You're going to make people uncomfortable. I scare people. I do. Because I say, I see this, I know about this, but there's this big God space. And I go, they go, oh my God, oh my God. I go, you can't take it with you anyway. You can't take it with you. Somebody says, how much did he leave? Another person whispered in his ear and he says, everything. He didn't take none of it with him. None of it. I'm challenging you today to go to the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do in my generation that whatever time I've got left here on this earth, my life is to bring you glory. My life is to see you glorified in this here and now. Not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about right now. I want to see you glorified and high and lifted up. I'm going to lift up your name so you'll draw all men unto yourself. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now that you would seal the word that's been spoken to the hearts of this people. That no matter where they are, what they're going through, what they've been through, any of those things matter to you. You are still God. And you're in control. And so, Lord, I just pray that your people today would go back and look at the history of this body of people and the great things you've done and are going to do through this place. Many have come and many have gone, but many have changed the world because of what you did through them and in them in this place. As the word says on the website, this is a healing place. Let it be a place that many lives and hearts and destinies are healed in this place. And for the only reason is to bring Jesus glory, to honor that holy name that's above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. To the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
It's a quarter till something.
I know that.
You have nothing to worry about. God bless you. Thank you. Catch James if you want to. You can. You saw the website. You can check him out there and get involved in what's happening there. You need to know when you go for doing things like he's talking about, when you go and you're kind or you're generous or you have joy, that's a new thing to them. Brand new, because it comes from the source is different. So you don't, while you're waiting to figure out what the Lord's doing, do the things you know to do under his control, and the new thing comes to them. Because they've never been touched that way before. So be encouraged. And if you stood up when we were praying about the stream of God, the channel of the Lord touching you, don't let him forget about that. Before the day is over, tell the Lord, I stood up. I wanted this from you. I thought you wanted to do this with me. Let's go. Okay? Go in that mindset. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.